speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
To begin with, our first question that we want to deal with, it centers in and around the deity of Jesus. To begin with, what does deity mean? And then, does Jesus exist as both God and man, whenever He was here on the earth, that is? And if so, can this be proven in the Scripture? By all means, it is the Bible that we must turn to in order for us to prove anything as it would relate to Jesus or from a religious standpoint. To begin with, let's define the term deity. The word deity itself is not found in the Scripture, but rather from an English term, we understand that it is to signify a god or a goddess. Now, it is then applied, as we would use the term deity, to speak with reference to the divinity or the divine God, meaning eternal God. So therefore, as we use this in context to Jesus, we are literally saying, is He God? And the Bible does clarify that He is most certainly God. But then also, as the person who has posed the question is asking, not only is He God, is He also man? In this, I conclude, in my study of Scripture, is that not only is He 100% God, but during the time in which He dwelt here upon the face of the earth, He was also 100% man. And tonight we will show from the Bible these matters. Concerning the deity of Jesus, there are a number of passages that prove that He is indeed God. Take into consideration what Jesus teaches concerning Himself in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you go down to verse 3, you're going to find is that all things that were created by Him. And in fact, if you read further into the book of Colossians, you will find is that everything that was made through Him. Therefore, we understand that not only is He God, based out of what Jesus Himself says, but being God, He is eternal in His existence, and in this He was present during the time in which the world was created. Whenever Jesus came into this world, then did He maintain His deity? Did He continue on as God? Most certainly He did. In fact, we draw from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Some 8 centuries before Jesus came into this world, being born of a virgin, born of Mary, the Bible identified is that a virgin would conceive and would bring forth a child, and that His name would be Emmanuel, which literally is interpreted God with us. Isaiah also helps us to understand concerning the deity of Christ in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. In the context there, Isaiah refers to Him by way of inspiration, the Almighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. But Isaiah, in seeing Him in such figures, also identified that He is indeed the Almighty God. Well, when we think with reference to God, only God is capable, only God is the one that we are to bow ourselves down to. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 6, as well as verse 8, declares this very fact as it relates to Jesus our Lord. Take into consideration, whenever the Hebrews writer is writing here, he presents Jesus as higher than the angels. And in fact, in the same context, he identifies as that the angels themselves worship Him. Well, why are they worshiping Him? Because He is deity. Well, as we think with reference to the fact that Jesus is divine, that He is God, then what was His divine mission? If He is coming to this world, did He have a purpose? Did He have a plan? Most certainly He did. Oftentimes, we speak with reference to the fact that He came to seek and to save the lost, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, and that is so, and that no doubt is a part of God's eternal plan, meaning the plan of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But friends, that's not the only reason by which Jesus Christ came into this world. We learn from the context of John chapter 1 and verse 18 that Jesus, having pre-existed in heaven with God as God, knew the Father in a greater way than anyone who has ever represented God or spoke on the behalf of God, in times past. How so? Because He Himself is God. And in coming then into this world, John chapter 1 verse 1 says that He came to declare the Father. Well, what does it mean that He came to declare the Father? It literally means that He came to explain God to man. Being God Himself, He's able to do that. Pre-existing in heaven with God, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, He's able to understand them in their existence, in their nature, in their roles as it pertains to our salvation. So that is a part of, not only do we see His deity, but we see the divine purpose for Him coming as God. The Hebrews writer then, I want to draw our attention to what is said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 2. In that context, the Hebrews writer exclaims to us in saying, God, who at various times and in various ways spake to the fathers in times past through the prophets. God spoke. We know that as we read from the Old Testament Scripture and in the New Testament Scripture. God has always communicated His message. The avenues, the ways in which God has communicated His message, though, has been different at various times. Yet at the same time, I want us to understand that He always used holy men as they spake or moved. As they spake, they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. But note the context of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. As God spoke, He spoke through the prophets to the fathers with the conveyance of His message. But note what He says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, but He has, in these last days, spoken to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. Whenever Christ came, not only does He declare the Father, not only does He give us a means of redemption, an avenue that we can be saved. Friends, He came with a final revelation, the final message of God. It was a part of His divine mission. But then also, I believe that it's imperative that we point out another aspect of His divine mission in coming to this world. In the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, as Jesus has spoken in the context to the apostles, asking them who men say that He was, He then turns to Peter and says, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that upon this rock, upon your confessions, what He's saying, I will build My church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. All of this is significant in the coming of Jesus in His divine plan. He came to declare the Father. He came to give the final revelation to mankind. He came to seek and to save the lost, to give us a means of redemption. He came to establish His church. But friends, note also what the Bible says in reference to this. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, He purchased the church through the shedding of His blood. That was a major part of His mission in coming to this world, was to die, yes, to give us a way of redemption, but to die and to purchase the church, establish the body through the shedding of His blood. Was He a deity? Yes, He was 100% God. But friends, the Bible also shows us concerning the humanity of Jesus. A variety of passages prove Jesus' humanity. I want to draw our attention back to John chapter 1 and verse 14. We read or quoted from John chapter 1 and verse 1, which speaks with reference to the deity of Christ. If you go down in your context there and read from verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh. The same word there, logos, in the Greek language that is employed back over in John chapter 1 and verse 1, is also under consideration here. So what's he saying? He says, deity, Jesus, who pre-existed in heaven with God as God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son. So the Bible clearly shows us that He is here in the flesh, or He was here in the flesh. But then also, I want to draw our attention to what the Apostle Paul said to the saints of Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. If you pick up the context beginning in verse 5, you'll see that Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God. Why? Well, that goes back to His deity, because He preexisted as God, alongside the Father and the Holy Spirit. But note what the context says. But he emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a bond servant. Friends, that speaks with reference to the humanity of Jesus. Whenever Jesus Christ was here, he was human. Whenever Jesus Christ was here as human, he had flesh. He was just like you and me. The Bible tells us concerning the birth of Jesus that he certainly was conceived of the Holy Spirit in Mary, yet at the same time, the Bible stresses the significance from Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, know what He says, born of a virgin, born under the law. Born would signify what? The humanity of Jesus. He came to this world as a human being to live here upon the face of the earth and to deal with the various things that you and I go through. A passage of Scripture that we rightfully use from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 to show a work of Jesus as our mediator, also I want to employ tonight in our consideration concerning the humanity of Jesus. Note what Paul says as he's speaking to Timothy. He says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, he could have easily said, God, Christ Jesus, and that would have been right. But Paul, in writing to Timothy, who is going to be conveying God's message unto the Christians of the first century that he was preaching for, wanted to stress the humanity of Jesus. Well, what's he saying? He says to Timothy, this one who has lived among us, this one that many of us have had the privilege, Paul speaking, of being able to see, to live beside, to work with, to be able to know concerning his existence that he was man, Paul and other writers of the New Testament Scripture, so show the humanity of Jesus Christ. Well then, what was his purpose in coming to this world as a human? I believe the major significance of what we find with reference to the humanity of Jesus is drawn from the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. In that context, we read is that he had to become all things like his brethren. Why? That he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. As we think with reference to Jesus and the fact that he is our high priest, through the life that he lived as 100% man, going through all of the various things that you and I face in this life, it qualified him to be our merciful and faithful high priest. Then also I want to draw our attention to what is taught in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and verse 2. In that context, he says that we have an advocate. Well, what is an advocate? An advocate in the Greek language is a legal term, meaning that he stands on the behalf of Christians and he argues our case before the Father. Well, what qualifies him for that? He is existing in this world as humanity, knowing personally what it is that we go through. And therefore, he pleads our case before the Father whenever you and I sin and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, at the same time, God tells you and me that we need to look to the life of Christ and we need to do all that we can within our power to live by the example that He set forth. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, He that saith he abide in Him ought also so to walk, even as He walked. You see, when we look to the humanity of Jesus, the understanding that He existed here upon the face of this earth, lived here upon the face of this earth, as 100% God and also 100% humanity, there were reasons for both in reference to His existence. But again, also, God shows us that He is an example to us, specifically according to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. He is our example in times of suffering. Therefore, God wants us not necessarily to fully understand, I believe, everything from a divine standpoint, what it means for Him to be 100% God and 100% man at one time, but to embrace the reality that He did exist here in this world as such. And to study the proof text, scriptures that I have presented tonight and the many others I might go on to add, and then to apply them as to how that we are to exalt Him as He is exalted as deity, but then also to understand the ways in which He suffered and serves as an example as 100% mankind. He is our Savior, and He is our brother and our example to be able to live a righteous life before God.